education, beyond from me, reach beyond, because there lies a serenity that awakens to spirit. You know, it feels good for me that I was talking to, I have a pigeon, and talk about educated pigeon. This guy is so educated, it's unbelievable. I said to him the other day, you're the only person I know who could approach a problem five different ways and make sense to you. He said, what do you mean? I said, forget it. But he works on Channel 5. Every time he comes on Channel 5, I said to my wife, there's my pigeon. But you see, you don't understand. And it's hard to understand. And I had a lot of trouble to understand. You know, I left her. She was a wonderful person. I left her with the idea that she's feeling sorry for me. And that's the job I like myself. But where I have been fortunate and where I have always been fortunate, I came back to AA. But here I was, in my 50-year sobriety, I was a president in my own company, and I had a driving license, and I said to myself, maybe I should get me a girlfriend. But I had this 4 teeth in front missing, and I felt that you couldn't find a decent girl with 4 teeth in front missing. And that's the only thing I've lost in drinking. And you know how I lost? I don't think you're interested. But I'll tell you anyway. Because I'm interested. You know, in Syracuse, New York, there is a place called a slave market where bums like me hang out there. You can get a job there and work one day and get paid and get drunk. And I got a job unloading boxcar bricks. I'm all finished Saturday afternoon and I get paid and I start drinking. But also in Syracuse, New York, there is a bar room they call Smitty's, where all the New York Indians drink in Smitty's. I don't drink in Smitty's because I am a Mi'kmaq Indian. And Mi'kmaq Indians and New York Indians don't communicate too well. And every once in a while, 20 of us Mi'kmaqs will get drunk, then we go to Smitty's. And we would communicate. But this afternoon, I'm drinking and I'm wearing long leather gloves and I feel strong, but I had no intention of walking to Smitty's. But as I was walking by Smitty's, somebody opened the door and threw this guy out. And that's where I met Smiley. Smiley is an Irishman with a degree. Weighs about 90 pounds. So I pick him up and I said to him, what in the hell's wrong with you? He said, it's those Indians inside. And I said, well, they can't do that to you. And he said, no, they can't. Imagine two sick people meet in the street. I said to him, what do you say you and I go in there and clean them up? And Smiley looked at me, he says, it's a good idea. Well, by the Jesus, it wasn't a good idea. Now, I woke up in the general hospital, and I lost 4 teeth, and Smiley sitting there without scratch. And you know, the years went by, and Smiley and I would wake up in jail, and I would be all beat up. And it dawned on me one day, I said to Smiley, how come that I can get so messed up, and you never had a scratch? And Smiley has the most sincere look in the world. He said, John, don't you know, he said, I'm a college man. Monty always wanted to write a letter for me. Except when we were drunk, you know, what to say. So we never wrote a letter. But I'd been in an AA meeting and I met a dentist. And I'd been watching him about 3 weeks. And he was a mild-looking gentleman with white hair. He couldn't hurt you. You know, and that's what bothered me. Because I'm a super sensitive person. And I want you to know that I get hurt easily and I don't suffer well. So I called him one night in Central Group and Marlboro. I said to him, I wonder if you could help me. I have a little problem. He says, what's the problem? Well, I said, I'm looking for a girlfriend. And I have these 4 teeth in front missing. And I want you to put them back. So he gave me his card and he said, call my secretary. I did, and I went over to see him. And he set me down. He opened my mouth. And he started whistling. He wanted to pull 14 teeth before he gave me 4. And I said to myself, this is no bargain at all. I'm sorry I came here. And you don't like me, that's for sure. I said to him, well, how long this will take? Well, he says, if you keep your appointment, it will take you 3 months. So, you know, they tell us we get what we need and not what we want. So it took me 3 months. I went there, he pulled one, and he filled the rest of them. But I never forget the day I got my teeth. I rushed home, I went upstairs, and I looked in the mirror, and I laughed for 2 hours. I met a lady in a group in Worcester. She said, by this time, I bought a car. Bought a second-hand car, had 11 passengers for $750. And I met the lady in AA, and she said, you have a car. I said, 11 passengers. She said, I run a home for alcoholic women. Faith House, she said. I have 9 girls. Would you like to bring them to a meeting? I said, I'll be very happy to. And that's where I met my wife, Kathy. I bring these girls to a meeting. And on our way back, I said to Kathy, would you like to go out on a date? And she said, no. And she hurt my feelings. Because I'm a very sensitive person. I get hurt easily and I don't suffer well. But AA was working for me. On my way home, I said to myself, who in the hell she thinks she is? Here she is in Faith House, she's got nothing. And here I am, I'm president in my own company. I own my own car and a new set of teeth. Who the hell needs her anyway? Next Thursday night, I picked the girls up again, and on our way back to meeting, I said to Kathy, how about the show in Boston Sunday? She said, okay. So we went to show in Boston, and on our way back, I asked her to marry me. She said, but I don't know you. And I said, that's all right. We still have 5 miles to go. We've got a time. So we got married. and got married. And a lot of people in AA didn't approve of it. They said you were supposed to be more adjusted to get married. I used to tell them that my problem was this. I still tell them the same thing today. But we stopped the car because we didn't know where to go. My wife has a type of a family where they didn't like alcoholics. You know, they used to wear big hats in those days with big feathers. And they didn't want to believe that my wife was an alcoholic because it was bad news. And especially when they find out that she married an Indian with no feathers. Anyway, we decided that we go back home. I have been away for 21 years. But it wasn't a responsible decision. I knew nothing about my past. You know, it's good, it's healthy, and God knows it's rewarding. When you can say that there is nothing about my past, nothing about my past that robs me today in the spirit of living a good life. But I knew nothing about my past. When my father died, we were poor. And my mother used to write notes and wrapped around my hand, and she would send me to an Indian agent 14 miles one way. And I made many trips. And I come home with no food. And when my brothers and sisters would cry, my mother would say, "It's all right. Tomorrow we'll get food." I knew there was no food. I know, as I know today. I also knew that my mother was telling lies. But I made many trips in those 5 years, and I'll never forget when my mother was dying. We lost twin brothers. Same year. They went blind. But when I was 13, my mother was dying, and she'd been in the bed for a long time, and she wrote a note, and he said, "John, could you bring this to an Indian agent? I want a jar of Vaseline, because my body is in pain. I'm laying in bed." So I walked 14 miles. It was middle of the winter. Got a ride from somebody with an horse in a buggy. I arrived and I gave a note to an Indian agent. He looked at me and he gave me a smile, threw it on the snow, and shut the door in my face. And you know, today we talk about love. I know what love is. I have been taught here. I've been coming here a long time. I like to, Ramona said something. It's good to be loved, but that is not love. In our 11th step, a maintaining step, it says, "I will give you an example. I will choose a person who went through something like us." The emotional injury calls it. But he was an auditor of this prayer, and he said, "Lord, let me be the instrument of thy will. For where there is hate, I will bring love. Where there is sadness, I will bring joy. Where there is darkness, I will bring light. Where there is doubt, I will bring faith." Then the second part, when he talks about love. "Lord, I pray that I may understand rather than to be understood." Father Martin says, "Live with your intellect. Live with your head." But I lived with my feelings. I was slave to my feelings. You know how it feels for me to be able to say, I can honestly say to that Indian agent, Lord, I pray that I may love rather than to be loved. Not because of anything he did, but because, number one, my sobriety is a gift that I cannot do anything to earn it. But so is love. You cannot be so good that you can earn God's love. Somebody better than you and I have already done that. But to reach beyond the hand that strikes you, there is the grace that awakened the spirit that Francis talks about when he says, Lord, I pray that I may understand rather than to be understood. I have to do that. I need to do that. I must try to do that. But I couldn't then. As soon as I hit that house, an Indian agent, I was just like a maniac. The first thought came to my mind, now that I am a growing man, I like to written with my hand. Just written. And then I left home, and Patty and I arrived home. We didn't stay. It was not the honeymoon. I was a sick man. He arrived and we had $35 left, and we moved into a three-room apartment. And that's all we had. We had no furniture except the coffee table that was given to us from a paint house. And even millions cannot sleep in coffee tables. So we slept on the floor. But you can have a lot of fun on the floor too, if you know. You know, I spent in Winchester County in New York, and even Alfie said we over it. I have never seen so many women with so much jewelry. And as I was talking, I mentioned the fact that you can have a lot of fun on the floor. And after the meeting, this rich lady came to me. She says to me, young man, I don't know how much fun you can have on the floor, she says, but I know you can have a lot of fun on the Oriental rug. I said to her, thank God you identified. But while we're laying on the floor, I said to Kathy, no, I really would like to have a boy because I'm the only one left. And if you give me a boy, I'll buy you a diamond. Gotta be sick when you cannot afford the bed, but promising a diamond. But the beautiful thing about Kathy and I, she was sick enough, so she believed me. First time in my life, I walked into a bank. I was 36 years old. I wanted $200. And you know what the guy in the bank told me? Do you have a collateral? And you know, I didn't know what in the hell it was. That's the only thing they don't talk about in AA. I've been here 6 years and nobody talks about collateral. I went to see Paul, and Paul says to me, after I told him that I couldn't borrow, I went to three banks. He said, John, what you want to do is pray. I said, pray, Paul. They don't need God, they need collateral. So I went to Hudson. Someone said to me, there's a bank in Hudson. I got money from over there. So I went to see this older guy who was retiring the same year. And I told her that I needed some money and that my wife was in the hospital and we're going to have a boy. And I promised that I'll buy her a diamond. He said, we don't lend money that way. But then he says, I've always prided myself, he says, when I've seen an honest face. And he says, well, how much do you want anyway? And you know, he sounded so good. I said, $400. With a little lecture that I pay my dues on time, I could have the money, and I did. Then I rushed back to Marlboro to Allen's jewelry store, and I said to Allen, show me the best diamond that you have. And he did. And I said to him, show me the cheapest one that you have. And he says, you can have this one for $115. I said, I'll take it. And he said, you want to charge it? Of course. I said, of course. And I bring diamond to my wife, and I went home, and 3 o'clock in the morning, my wife calls me, and she's crying. She said, honey, it's a girl. I said, you must be kidding. I've already bought feathers for the boy. She wasn't kidding at all. Next Christmas came along, and she's in the hospital again. I received a call, and she's still crying. She said, honey, it's a girl. And by this time, you know, we're told that the example is a great teacher. Besides, I knew that my wife really loved me, and she really wanted to give me a boy, and I know she was hurt. So I went over to see her, and I said to her, don't worry about it. Just have an open mind, and we'll try again. I learned that in the program. So next Christmas came along, and my wife was in there again. I received a call, and she's still crying. But this time, it's twin boys. Then I got scared. I went over and I said to her, what do you say that next Christmas we hang our stockings and wait for Santa Claus? Then we done all right for a couple of years, then the girl came along. And a couple of years later, another boy came along. So we now have 6 children. Our daughter is 16 years old. So you might say that this is the story of my life. And I was thinking about my children today when Romana was talking. The only fear I had for quite a little while, I used to have a fear that something will happen to me. And the only time I had that is when all were in bed and my wife was in bed. The talk used to come to me. And it used to bother me. But now as I grow older and my children grow older, I don't think about it too much. I'm thinking about old age that wipes away some fears of the past. One time, I was hired by the government to be a director in 3 reservations in the state of Maine. I took off my old dirty coverall. And the big truck arrived with 3 people, and we moved to Maine, and I rented my house. I arrived in Maine, and I bought me a nice coat, the pants to match, and a tie, and I signed my shoes. And I walked into my office with wall-to-wall carpet. And I had a secretary, she built like a brick house. A 9-year contract to the government. I walk into my office and I see all these buttons in the telephone. And I didn't know which one to push. But here I am, an executive. My next office was a psychiatrist. I'm not going to talk about those guys. My next office was social worker, psychologist, and upstairs was Indian education, and in the front it was my office. While I was over there, I received a call from University of Maine. Paula says, we have an adult education program. We need an Indian speaker. We pay $50 an hour. Are you interested? I said, I'll think about it. I mean, when you are a director, you don't rush. So I went over there and I talked for 1 hour, and I was so impressed with what I said, I gave them half an hour free. Then a thought came to my mind. This school teacher. You know, she had tears in her eyes because she loved me. She had tears in her eyes because she couldn't convince me. Johnny says, you have an excellent mind. My mother, when I was scared, once told me, John, you're different and you're strong. But I couldn't accept that because I didn't want to be myself. I didn't want to be myself. You know, I never speak for 2 years in AA because I didn't want you to know that I didn't talk good English. And I especially didn't want you to know that I never went to school. And yet I have traveled this far, sharing you the life that for 35 years in my life I've told lies about. Probably no other place in the world that I could really share it. While I was over in Maine, Steve Shaw on Channel 4 called me up. Said, John, I'm told you have a news for me over there. I said, I have. He came over and we took pictures in reservation. And he brought the searchlights and cords and the big camera in my office. Psychiatrists and psychologists and Indian education upstairs looking in. And I'm sitting there, I'm an executive. I even choose my own wall-to-wall carpet. It was different than the rest of us. A couple of weeks later, I received a call from Steve Shaw. He says, you know the tape, that talk we had? He said, there's no voice. By this time, I'm in Massachusetts on vacation. He said, could I come over there and interview you again? I said, why not? So we arrive over there with 6-panel truck with all the wires and in my neighborhood where I live. So I didn't know what the hell was going on. He's this Indian with the Channel 4. And I'm sitting in my yard and he's interviewed me. And about 2 months later, they showed it on television on the news. People liked it. They made it special. And he won awards. The special of the year. The thing that I'm trying to say, people outside don't mind when you talk good English either. But probably my greatest gift is to be able to stand here and feel that I belong here. And that's something I thank God for, that I belong here. Another thing I thank God for, my friends. If I was not a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, I would have never have friends I have, because we live in a type of a society where people like to play games with human lives. And too often the world thinks that money is more important than human life. Money is important. I mean, anyone who thinks that money is not important, the poor bastard has not as yet identified reality. But if you know that money don't buy everything, then you are doubly rich. Education is important. That's why it takes so long to have a good education. And if you are educated and if you believe that knowledge in itself is not enough, you are well educated. But I have friends. One of my friends who is now dying of cancer is a professor in English, a millionaire. His mother died a few years ago. She lived to be 101, and he inherited $1 million. He likes Robert Frost. I like Robert Frost. The difference between me and him He understands him, and I don't. The only thing I know about Robert Frost's little prayer when he says, "Dear God, forgive me for all the little tricks I played on you, and I forgive you for the big one you have played on me." I mean, you don't understand it. That's your problem. But in closing, this man dying of cancer, and his wife was telling me that 2 o'clock in the morning, he would be up and studying Robert Frost. And it's weak, but the only way I could understand Robert Frost, that he would be like an actor. He was yelling and he'd be doing this. And you know, as I'm coming the next day, and I arrive over there and say, "John, I got 2 of them. You will enjoy them." And I do. The simplicity of greatness is indeed a joy. He's my friend. I never have a friend like that. I'm a painter. I don't have an education. If I was not in AA, I would have never met my friend John and Frank C. and have a nice dinner with his people. Society, and it's not because Oliver and I am sick. You must remember, society is a little sick too. Too often, they play a game. And if it wasn't for the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, then would have never called me all the way from Berlin, Mass, with all expenses paid. And there is a good chance a person who lived like I did, who talked the way I did, and did things the way I did, that have never had the opportunity to stand up to 700 to 800 well-educated people and tell you my story. So I am in many ways blessed. And for that, thank you very much.
Didn't I tell you? He's something else, isn't he? John, I want to personally thank you, and on behalf of the committee, we have these 2 little gifts we'd like to give you.
Thank you very much. I'll open them later.
Well, before we close, I wouldn't even attempt to make any comment after John he said it all. Before we close, I want to remind you once again that we do have to clear this area so that we can set up and get ready for the dance. So, consequently, the quicker we get set up, the sooner we start the dance. Now, if you will all of you stand and join in with me to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Well, good folks, I want to thank you for letting me take your time to listen to this tape, and I hope you like it. Alcoholics Anonymous really works. It has worked for me, and it has worked for these good people that you just listened to. And again, I want to thank you, and this is Earl Chess, an alcoholic, and I'm very grateful in many ways. And good night.